Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Welcome back. And to go back to our question, who is Maymuna bint al-Harith, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salam? Is she related to him, or is she the sister of someone we know? No. Maymuna bint al-Harith is the sister of Ummul Fadl. May Allah be pleased with her. Who is Ummul Fadl? The wife of Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Who is Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib? The uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them, used to always spend the night in her house. Why? Because she is his aunt. And by this, he would be able to sit in his cousin's house and watch how he used to perform. And that is why a lot of the hadith that Ibn Abbas narrated, may Allah be pleased with him, were taken from the house of Maymuna. For example, the hadith of spending the night and watching the Prophet sleep, and then watching him wake up in the middle of the night, Ibn Abbas pretending to be asleep, and then making wudu from a leather container, and then starting to pray night prayer. Ibn Abbas says, I stood up and stood to the left of the Prophet in prayer. That was the house of Maymuna. The Prophet held his ear and took him until he stood at his right, and he prayed night prayer with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. All of this is in the house of Maymuna. So Maymuna is telling us how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to perform ghusl. Now, we know that the Prophet had more than four wives alayhi salatu wasalam. And sometimes he's criticized by this from the disbelievers, from the atheists, from the Christians, from the Jews, from the kafir. They're saying that the Prophet married more than four wives. He had a lot of women. He was a womanizer. Astaghfirullah wa tubu ilayh. The Prophet ﷺ married one wife until he was 53 years of age. If anyone would have been a womanizer, 53 is the last age you would think of marrying again. Right or not? If you were a womanizer, you would take the best of your youth when you're 25, when you're 30. And not only that, he married his wife when he was 25 years old. And the majority of scholars say that his wife, Khadija, was 40 years old. So when he was in his prime, when he was 50, she was almost 60 years old. So if he was a womanizer, he would have married again and again and again, but he did not. Only until she died, he married again. And all the Prophet's wives, alayhi salatu wasalam, were not virgins. And men, by nature, they desire virgins. But the majority, all of them, except Aisha, all of them were either widowed or divorcees, or married before, and their husbands were not Muslim. So one of the wives whom he had married was same as his age, 53 years old when he married her. Would a womanizer do such a thing? Definitely not. The Prophet ﷺ married to get all of his companions together to make a nation, and at the same time so that we could learn how he would behave when he's in home. So it was not reported to us by one wife, two wives. It was reported to us by nine wives. And they all conveyed to us how he was in his house. The hadith of Maymuna, number 32, who would read it for us? Yes, Ashi.
Narrated Maymuna bint al-Harith. I placed water for the washing of Allah's apostle Janaba. He poured water with his right hand over his left twice or thrice, and then washed his private parts and rubbed his hand on the earth or on a wall twice or thrice, and then rinsed his mouth, washed his nose by putting water in it, and then blowing it out, and then washed his face and forearms, and poured water over his head and washed the rest of his body. Then he shifted from that place and washed his feet. I brought a piece of cloth, but he did not want it, and instead removed the traces of water from his body with his hand.
So,
Al-Bukhari.
Okay. The hadith is similar a lot to the hadith of Aisha. However, the differences are, first of all, after washing the hands three times or twice, he washed his private part. And this is the sunnah. For anyone who has a sexual impurity, janaba, the first thing to do is, after washing his hands, washing your private part. And then he hit the floor or the wall. And why is that? To remove any impurity that stuck into his hand after washing his private part. And nowadays, you don't do this because the bath itself or the wall, the ceramic wall, would not do you any good. But we have instead detergents or soap. We can do that and it would clean our hands, inshallah. After that, he started ablution. But she did not say that he performed ablution. She described it. She said that he turned the water in his mouth and cleaned his nose, and after that washed his face and his arms. So this is wudu, actual wudu. And then he poured the water on his head, cleaning all of his head. And then he stepped aside and washed his feet. So this wudu, he, alayhi sallam, postponed washing the feet until the very end. In Aisha's hadith, he performed full wudu, including the feet. And why did he move aside? Scholars say, so that he would be in a cleaner place. And then she brought him a piece of cloth, a towel or something. The Prophet did not want it, and he just shook his hands and shook the water off his body. This is another way of performing ghusl. And a third way, which is the most authentic, all of these are authentic hadith, but the details are in this way I'm going to tell you. First, you wash your hands. Second, you wash your private part. Then you wash your hands again. Then you make a full wudu, with the exception of not washing your feet. Everything until you come to the wiping of the head. And then you wash your hair and head until you ensure that the water have reached your skull. So the whole skin is wet. And afterwards, you pour the water on the right side of your body, arms, legs, etc. And then you wash the left side of your body until you are sure and certain that the whole body was covered with water. Do I have to rub it? The scholars say it's not a must, but it is recommended. Why? What is best, to pour water or to rub it? Rubbing it, because by rubbing it, you are definitely sure that the water has covered it. But when you pour it, sometimes the water does not cover a particular area. But it is not a must. Scholars say that rubbing it is recommended, yet it is not a must. And then, after this, the final thing you do is wash your feet, as the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, this is the sunnah as stated before. This is the sunnah of making wudu. But if you have, you're on the seashore and you're in the state in janaba, all what you do is you dip yourself in the water with the intention of making ghusl, turn the water in your mouth, clean your nose, and come out. That's it. You have performed ghusl. So this is the best way of doing it. Now, we will come to find out that the sunnah is to use as minimum as possible of water, because excessive use of water is not part of the sunnah. And if you go to places where they have rivers and rain and you name it, they have no shortage of water at all, you will find in the hotels, you will find in the streets, you will find everywhere, conserve the usage of water. Subhanallah. Even in places like the UK, for example, with the rivers and the streams and the rain that is 24 hours, they're still calling people to conserve in their usage of water. Our religion did this 15 centuries ago, when the Prophet ﷺ used to perform wudu in this much. Imagine? This much. Is it enough to make wudu? Who says yes, it is? One, two, three. I made myself wudu with it. I tried it myself. At first, I thought that it was impossible. But I gave it a try. I was off-roading once with the family, and it was time for prayer. I told them, just bring me this much. And I started making wudu. MashaAllah. More than enough. But when we make wudu nowadays, how many gallons do we need? We turn on the faucet, and we sing, we dance, we whistle, and it would take us probably 10, 20 liters. If we're taking a bath, subhanAllah, we need a swimming pool. Because my voice is as beautiful as it can be in the bathroom when I sing, when all the family is doing this. I know, but it, to me, it sounds very nice. So this is exactly what the Sunnah came to tell us. Conserve water, and we will get to know this, inshallah, later on. Do we have any questions? Yes, brother.
Now, is it necessary when in the process of doing the ghusl, the water should touch all the part of the body? What if some part of the body is left out, untouched with the water?
Muhammad Aman, can you please tell me?
He's asking that, is it necessary that we wet the whole of our body if some part of the body is left dry? So,
Oh yes. If some part of the body was left dry, you did not perform ghusl. You have to cover every part of your body. So for example, if I leave this big in my arm, I did not wash, my ghusl is invalid. I have to wash it. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.